Like to say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank all those brothers thus far who have participated in our worship service on this afternoon. I want to say thank you for all those that are listening on this afternoon, those that are visiting with us, those that have been invited to worship with the Highland Heights Church of Christ on this afternoon. We're thankful to have you on. And for those of our sister congregations who've elected to be with us on this afternoon, we want to say thank you for being with us on this afternoon. On this afternoon, as you've heard the scriptures read for you, I would encourage you that if you have a Bible, I'll be teaching from the King James Version of the Word of God. If you have a Bible, I will ask you to secure it. And if you're able to follow along with the scriptures, do so. If not, I would encourage you to write down these scriptures that will be shared from God's Word. I want to begin by saying that the theme or the main subject of the entire Bible is the glorification of God and the salvation of man through Jesus Christ. Glorification means to honor, to express thanks to love, and to have respect for God. And salvation is the eternal deliverance of mankind through Jesus Christ. In other words, that is the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible. But I also want to share some facts regarding the Bible, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. If you'll follow with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3. And the verse is 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the verse is number 16. Paul wrote to Timothy, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So Paul shared with Timothy that everything that we find in the scriptures were inspired of God, and it has a profit or benefit. Doctrine tells us what's right. Reproof tells us what's wrong. Correction tells us how to get right. Instruction in righteousness tells us how to stay right. So God wanted the man of God to be complete, and he furnished him with everything that he needs. But not only that, in John's writing, the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, and the verses are 30 and 31, John wrote, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John wrote that the things that are written, he said, in this book was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of God, and that believing this, you might have eternal life through his name. So again, I want to emphasize, we have to believe when it comes to religion, We have to believe what is written. Believe what is written. And the things that I share today, I will give book, chapter, and verse, and I want you to read with me. In Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse is number 4. Ephesians chapter 3, and the verse is number 4. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said in verse number 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So I'm establishing points that we have to believe what's written, and we have to, in order to, we have to read that we may understand. Paul said the knowledge that he had concerning the mystery of Christ. And then in John chapter 8, Jesus says something in John chapter 8, and the verse is 31, the verses are 31 and 32. The Bible reads, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In order to know what truth is, we have to find it in the Word of God. Truth is in the Word of God. Jesus said that. But we have to continue in his Word. Then that's how one becomes a disciple. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will free you spiritually. And so, having established the Bible and the purpose of it, I want to make a couple of points before I get into the year 2020. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah said something. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah said, I know is the way that man is supposed to live shouldn't come from him. It is not in him. He said, it is not in a man that walk to lead or direct his own step. And then Jesus said, back in the New Testament, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus established what should be the first thing those whom he was teaching should seek. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus established for man what should be the priority in our life. The first thing I should seek is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then concerning the kingdom of God, in John chapter 3, and the verse is number 3, there was a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And Jesus shared with him in John chapter 3, and the verse is number 3. Jesus answered and said to him, he said to Jesus, that I know thou art a teacher verse 2, John 3, 2, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice Jesus' response to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the thing that Jesus said we ought to seek, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, Jesus said, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. And then in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, we have thus far been participating in worship service. Yeah, this is worship service, not church. We are in worship service. And Acts 2:42, on the first worship service after the first worship service after Christ had resurrected, you find five acts of worship. The Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Apostles' doctrine is when we teach from the Word of God. Fellowship is communion or giving contribution or to give. Excuse me. It means fellowship means contribution or to give. So we give to the Lord that which God has blessed us with. We also hear from the Word of God, also in the breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. Those are four acts that when we worship God, we participate in on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And then verse 47, the fifth act, the Bible says praising God, which is singing. He said, and having favor with all the people. So those are the five acts of worship that we have thus far. We've had singing, we had communion, we had offering, those that give online or give. We've also had communion, the Lord's Supper, and we've also again said singing, apostle doctrine. We had gave an opportunity for contribution, and we've had prayer. Men have led prayer. So those are the acts of worship service. So I wanted to establish those maybe don't be on the call, may not be familiar. And I have learned not to try, when I teach, not to take for granted that someone may know something. Simply teach them from the Word of God, and they can read and understand from the Word of God themselves. And so having said that, I don't know about you, but the year 2020 has been like no other year. The Lord has blessed me to see 61 years in this life. And in these 61 years, the year 2020 has been like no other. So as we move from or come to a close of this year, I want to talk about in the year 2020, there have been at least three significant events in the United States. Three significant events. One happened with the killing of George Floyd, number one. This event brought great attention to police brutality, police racism, and a lack of police accountability in this country. It brought worldwide attention to racial inequality in this country. That event brought those things to light in this country. And there has been summits and meetings and trying to find the solution. Well, I want to offer today the solution to man's challenges are still in the Word of God. What is the Bible answer to racial inequality in this country? In Matthew chapter 5, and beginning at verse 43, Jesus, again, this sermon on the Mount, he was preparing these people to live as Christians, and he shared something with them. The answer to racial equality in this country. We'll see the issue, and then we'll see the answer. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 43, you have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And the word hate is when we have a sure desire to cause harm to another person. Being malicious is what had happened to George Floyd. Someone harmed him or took his life, and Jesus said that you've been hurt, that you hate thy enemy. Enemy is when you have a dislike for someone. You have to dislike someone. You have to have hatred for someone to try to harm another individual. The answer, Jesus said in verse 44, and then he gave us example in verse 45. In Matthew 5, 44, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemy. He said, bless them that curse you. How do I love them, Lord? Do good to them that hate you. How do I respond to someone that hate me? Jesus said, do them good if they hate you. Not only that, Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The way that I respond to inequality is I love my enemies. I bless them that curse me. I do good to them that hate me. I pray for them that despitefully use me and persecute me. And then Jesus said, gives us an example of let me see where how God does that. He said that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he, talking about God, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. God sends and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God the Father gave us an example. He allowed his Son to rise on those that are evil as well as those that are good. God sends rain unto those that are just as well as those that are unjust. That's the example that Jesus gave us. That's the answer to racial inequality in this country. When we decide to befriend or show love for one another, that is the answer to racial equality. It's in the Word of God. It's been there in the Word of God. When men practice these things, it's when we find solution. It's the heart of man. Secondly, the presidential election process and results. There has been filed over 57 lawsuits attempting to prove election irregularities and or improper ballots to contest the election results. Well, I find in Matthew chapter 27, and the verse is number 17, we find a principle there. The Bible says in verse 15, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had Jesus, and the Bible says, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. The Bible says in verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus that is called Christ? The Bible says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And envy, by definition, is a feeling of displeasure that's produced by witnessing or hearing the prosperity of others. Many that had displeasure regarding the election results had envy in themselves. But watch the Bible. When he sat down on the judgment seat, and so sometimes in the lawsuit they tried to go to judgment. The Bible says when they went to the judgment seat, went to Pilate, his wife sent unto him. His wife said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? His wife realized when something is right, don't have nothing to do with it. And then we find in verse 24, when it came to them making the decision about crucifying Christ, where the governor said in verse 23, why, what evil has he done? But what they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Now notice Pilate's response. And Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, excuse me, for that rather a torment was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See you to it. All the lawsuits we had, the Supreme Court washed their hands and said, this is right. You all see to it. Let me say this. Free, fair elections are the lifeblood of our democracy. Voters, not lawyers, choose the president. Ballots, not briefs, decide elections. When something is right, you leave it alone. They went all the way up to the Supreme Court with the matter. And they say, we wash our hands on this matter. Leave it alone. And thirdly, the coronavirus pandemic, or COVID-19, is an ongoing pandemic disease first identified in December 2019 in Wuhan, China. Recently, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, issued an emergency use authorization for the second vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19. Now, I want to say, for those that may not be as familiar, a pandemic is an event in which a disease spreads across several countries and affects a large number of people. There has been over 314 deaths in the United States and over 1.6 million people worldwide this pandemic. And so in our scripture reading on this afternoon, in 1 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Peter reminds those Christians in his first letter to them of the single most important event in the entire Bible and in the history of mankind. Those three events that I just spoke of are significant events. But Peter now talked to them about the single most important event in the Bible and in the history of mankind when he said, "What is better, if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing?" And the verse is number 18. And that's my title this afternoon. "For Christ also has once suffered for sin." That's the title. "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us, mankind, to God." How? "Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit or the Holy Spirit." That's the single most important event in the history of man. But let me share something with us. Back in Genesis chapter 6, there was a spiritual pandemic that happened. I want you to see this. In Genesis chapter 6, and for the sake of inclusion and entire, I'll start at verse number 1. My verse is number 4, but I'll start in 1. The Bible says in the previous verse that Noah was 500 years old, and he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Bible says it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And then verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown." Now watch this now. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. When God sees the wickedness of man, as is in this case, and that every imagination of the thoughts of a man in his heart would even continue, God said in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented or it grieved me, God said, that I have made them. Watch this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And the word perfect here means mature in his generation. And watch this. Noah walked with God. When a person walks with God, that person finds grace in the eyes of God. And then the Bible tells us that God, getting ready to send the first pandemic, God told Noah to build an ark. And then in verse number 22 of Genesis 6, the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God told Noah how to build the ark. God told Noah to build it out of gopher wood. God gave him the dimension. God said there would be one door to enter into this ark. And Noah did what God said to do. And then the Bible says for us in chapter 7 that God sent the flood. In verse 17, the Bible says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up that ark that God told Noah to build, and it was lifted up, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Notice this now. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. The Bible says in verse 22, all in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, they died. Noah had preached to them. Yeah. Noah did. Preached to them 100 years, because he was, the Bible records, he was 500. And Genesis 5:32. And the Bible says in Genesis 7:6, after Noah did all according unto all that the Lord commanded, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon earth. Noah preached for 100 years telling people, nobody, and we'll find this in the text, got into the ark. But Noah, Miss Noah, three sons, and their three wives. Why is this so important? Why did Christ also once suffer for sins? Let's go back to Peter 3:18. Because Peter lets us know, and that's my title again, that Christ suffered one time for sins. But I want to share with you, while Christ suffered, they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. In John's writing, In John chapter 19, and the verse is number 34. Important fact. The Bible says, and I'll start in verse 32, so you'll see the picture from the scriptures. The Bible says, then came the soldiers, and they break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with Christ. There was one on the right hand and one on the left hand. They break their legs. And crucifixion was the most shameful death known to man. They nailed him. He was up on the cross for 6 hours for the sin of man. The Bible says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his leg. Verse 34 is important. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. When Christ died on the cross, in his death, two elements was present, blood and water. Why is 1 Peter 3:18 the most important scripture in the Bible? Let me share with you why. In Romans chapter 3, we talked about a vaccination that man has for the coronavirus. And they say there's 94% efficacy, 95%. But I want to share with you that in Romans 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what is sin? I want to define it. 1 John chapter 3, and the verse is number 4. 1 John chapter 3. John wrote the book of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, John wrote, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Why is that important? When man sinned, or when we became of age of accountability, everyone on the face of the earth, when we sin, we were infected with a disease. Sin is the disease. When we transgress the law of God, every person that's the age of accountability were infected with that disease. And Jesus said in the book of John that we all infected with the disease. Everyone infected with the disease. Spiritual disease. Jesus said in John 8:21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whether I go, you cannot come. If anyone died in their sin, Jesus said, where I go, you cannot come. That's why it's important that we believe the Bible. You read the Bible. You understand the Bible. The Bible is where we read about a place called heaven. The Bible is where we read about a place called hell. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where he's going, you cannot come. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7, Jesus gave, or Paul reminded them of the vaccine that was necessary, that was part to rid a person of sin. The Bible records in Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom Paul was telling them that were Christians, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. When it comes to this disease called sin, you have to come in contact with the blood of Christ. No one can go to heaven without coming in contact with the blood, because the blood is redemption. What is redemption? By definition, redemption is bringing deliverance through Christ's death from the guilt and the power of sin. That's what redemption is. That's why the blood was shed on the cross when they pierced him in the side. One of the things that happened, his blood was shed for, the Bible says, the forgiveness of sin. Yeah. All of us had the disease. The disease of sin when we violated the law of God in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9:21, the law of Christ. And so back in 1 Peter 3, you see again, Peter said it was the just being Christ for the unjust. And the reason that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood was that he might bring us to God, being put to death in his body, but he was made alive again. Then in verse 19, he says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Remember we talked about that was 100 years God waited. God was long-suffering, and God is suffering with us today. Long-suffering. If you've lived 30 years, you live 40 years, 50, 60. If by chance God allowed you to live 80, which is 80 years, God has been long-suffering with you. He's waiting as he did in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. They were saved by water. But man, the Bible says in verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. You know, man can refuse to accept God's will and God's condition. I can be disobedient, and God suffered long with me. But the Bible records, in that spiritual pandemic, the whole world died. All the animals died. Every man that had life, a breath of life in his body, had nostrils, he died. only 8 people were saved by water. Yeah. Noah, according to 2 Peter 2:5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. As I'm preaching today, Noah preached for 100 years. God told him to go in the ark and shut the door. The Bible said, remember I talked about the blood. When they pierced Jesus in the side, there was blood. But also, the second element was water. The Bible says, the like figure, what figure? Water. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. By the resurrection of Christ, who is gone into heaven. I told you he was there. And is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. So we find that those two elements that God gave, man must come in contact with the blood, and by faith, when a person is baptized in water. And people say, well, I don't believe in baptism. Well, look at Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 and 16. Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to Jesus, the Bible. If you trust the Bible, you plan on going to heaven, you're going to have to listen to God. Now, if you plan on, again, like I said, Jeremiah said that man ain't, for it's not in man to just do what he want to do. You can do it, but you're going to have to answer to God. Notice what he said in Mark 16, 15, and 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. We see that baptism is the dividing line between being saved and being damned. So now, how does one become a Christian, child of God, a member of the church? Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, as I move toward a close. Acts chapter 2. Thank you for your patience this afternoon. But in Acts chapter 2 and in verse number 22, that is the gospel indeed. 3 facts to the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the first gospel sermon that was preached, Peter, the same Peter that wrote the letter of Peter, said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified, they slain, the word slain means they murdered Christ, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding to it. So the facts of the gospel, 3 facts, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is called the gospel of Christ, is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. And then Peter, as he closed his sermon in verse 37, verse 36, he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, and hopefully there's some on the call tonight, this afternoon, that's hearing this, the Bible says, now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. It ought to be pricking you in your heart, cutting you in your heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, they heard the gospel, and they believed what they heard. Peter told them the next thing to do. He said, repent. Repent means you turn toward Christ. And he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why am I baptized? It is for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, we find Then, on that first occasion, I mentioned verse 47. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, notice who does this now, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That verse tells me those that should be saved are added to the church. Now, my question may be, or your question may be, who does the church belong to? Let's stay with the Bible. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, we have hundreds of churches. But notice what Jesus said in the Bible, if you believe the Bible. You have to believe it if you're going to be saved. Jesus told Peter, after Peter said in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him in verse 18, and I say unto also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Understand this. Anyone that is saved from this disease called sin, you have to come in contact with the blood of Christ. You're going to have to be baptized. You have to be taught right. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. I'm teaching you from the truth from the Word of God. And you'll find that you're added to the church. Well, now, how do I know the church belongs to Christ? Well, in Acts chapter 20, in verse number 28, Paul was talking to those elders of Miletus. And he shared with them in Acts 20 and 28, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. They were overseers. Their responsibility was to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. And we know God the Father, according to John 4, 23 and 24, God the Father is a spirit. God the Son had flesh and blood. So it's talking about Christ purchased the church with his own blood. And that's why in Romans 16 and verse number 16, we find the descriptive phrase for the church. And Paul said it in Romans 16 and verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And I want to share with you, I believe that every word of the Bible is right. These things are written that I might believe. I share with you today the single most, we've had the three events I talked about in 2020, but the single most important event that happened in the history of mankind, Peter reminded them, and it's to remind us that Jesus Christ died on that cross. He was on that cross for 6 hours until he gave up his life on the cross. And he said unto them, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He still had love for mankind. He died on that cross. And I'm saying to you this afternoon, if any of us plan to go to heaven, you have to obey God. I wouldn't be disobedient like they were in the days of Noah. Only 8 people were saved in that spiritual pandemic. But all of us have an opportunity. God is long-suffering with us this afternoon. You can obey God. You have a question? Those that heard the message, you can reach Brother Stroud, Brother Horace Stroud, H-O-R-A-C-E, last name Stroud, S-T-R-O-U-D, not proud, but Stroud. My number is 281-731. 9664. If you have a question regarding your soul, your salvation, I welcome your question, phone call, text, so I can share with you God's word. I thank you for your patience this afternoon as I try to share with you the single most important event in the history of man is that God loved man, the glorification of God. God loved us before we loved him, that he gave his son to die for mankind. But we have to respond to the will of God in order to for heaven to be our home, and then live faithful to God. After we obey God, live faithful to God. I thank you this afternoon for your patience. For Christ also has once suffered for sin. Thank you very much.